I have been praying for you this week. Now, I pray for our congregation and our community. I pray for the United Methodist Church, our country. I pray for this and more every week. I have for a long time. But last week, I asked you to be intentional in praying for one another. And I want you to know that I'm being so as well. As we prepare for Easter, you have been invited to reflect on prayer. We began this series on prayer looking at fasting, the practice of giving something up, but talked about how without reflection and intention, we also could be giving up our chance to grow through that action. Last week, I invited you to pray for one another, to pray for people you know, to pray for people you don't know, to pray for one another, recognizing that we are all connected through joy and concern, through the ups and downs of life. I will mention again that prayer takes many forms. It doesn't always start with "Dear God" and end with "Amen," though many do. But think about all these other moments in our life that are moments of prayer, an intentional, quiet moment. A feeling of empathy or connection when you hear about something in someone's life. Perhaps it's the intention in your yoga practice, the gladness you feel while gardening, a desperate "help me" we utter into the nothingness, a genuine "thank you" we feel in our hearts. We pray in many ways. One of the ways a ministry in our congregation has begun praying is through quilts. We have a group of folks who get together and they make prayer quilts. You do not need to know how to quilt to be a part of this wonderful group. One of the members of this group is proudly in charge of sweeping up the scraps. There's room for everybody, right? Like, there's a role and a place. Whether it's the intentional learning, the community of being there, or simply holding the fabric and praying before it's used, there's a place for you. Keep an eye on the bulletin for all those upcoming prayer quilt gatherings. You see, when a baby is born in our congregation, Brandon and I go visit. We take words of congratulations. We offer a prayer and a blessing for that brand new life. We give the baby a Bible. It's a little one, the kind you can chew on. We give the baby a Bible from the congregation. We all should be chewing on the word, but literally, it's foam pages. We take that Bible to them, and we also take a blanket. Beautiful little squares, all sewn together. A little blessing from the church on the corner. They're so soft. We take this, we offer it, and it's a part of that child's beginning of life. Prayers from this congregation. You know, when someone in our congregation is ill, we also take quilts. Particularly with long-term illness. I mean, I'll go and I'll make a visit. I'll take words of reassurance and support. I offer a prayer and a blessing, and now I can take a quilt. Quilt that was made with them in mind. Each quilt made with deep intention and love. If the quilters know who it's made for, they think of that person and pray for that person during their time together. In the weeks and months to come, when we know that a quilt is going to be given to someone, there'll be a note at the door and the quilt will be downstairs during coffee hour, and they all have these little beautiful strings that you can tie so that each and every person has the opportunity to tie into that quilt and offer a prayer for whoever will be receiving it. Each quilt, an expression of love and care from this congregation. Today I get to share with you a quilt. Let's see. Oh, yeah. There we go. A quilt that's been made specifically for the congregation as a whole. You'll notice that as a matching piece on the pulpit. We'll have a new altar cloth. They even made a stole to go with it. This is a prayer quilt for the congregation. After the benediction today, you're going to be invited to come forward and tie one of the knots in the strings. You're invited to pray for the people that make up our church family. You're invited to pray for the people of our neighborhood, all those folks that we serve and serve with, for our ministry of being a place where all belong. And then it's going to hang on our wall. Having quilts as a focal point for our conversation today isn't just about prayer. It isn't just about quilts. It's about so much more. Though I will tell you, the quilting ministry is one of the reasons we're doing a series on prayer. You see, quilts, I believe quilts serve as a metaphor for prayer. I want you to hear these words from the prophet Isaiah in the 40th chapter. It's a long chapter, so I'm going to give you some highlights. The prophet begins with this. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term. Her penalty is paid. She has received from the Lord's hand." Isaiah 40 is this beautiful and powerful scripture. Often many of you might be familiar with these next few verses. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain shall be made low." We often hear this scripture in Advent as we prepare for Christmas, because they're echoed in the stories about John the Baptist, right? He was a voice. He was in the wilderness and he said those things. The scripture in Isaiah goes on to describe the greatness of one who will protect and care for all people. The scriptures read, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." The chapter in Isaiah continues with verses we use every Ash Wednesday as we begin our Lenten journey. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" The answer came, "All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. For the grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord is upon it. Surely the people are like grass." Here we are reminded of our impermanence, of our frailty, of our humanness. And then the prophet pivots to reassure us amidst all of that fragileness of being like grass. The prophet reassures us of God's steadfastness and power, saying God stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent for us to live in. Speaking of God's love for all humanity since creation. That same chapter of Isaiah concludes with the words of encouragement and hope that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Seriously, this is like a really good chapter. I mean, there is so much good stuff in here. I encourage you to take a moment this week and read it. Isaiah 40. If you don't know where your Bible is, you can just Google it and it comes up. The prophet is writing all of these things to a weary and worn people. People who are more familiar with oppression than they are with fulfillment of promises. People who know longing more than they know having. People who have felt their prayers unanswered for more than a generation. This is to whom the prophet writes. Our scripture today strikes a balance of seeking to offer comfort while also inviting those who hear it to extend comfort to others. The prophet is holding this tension for God's people, a tension that we are to be recipients of God's comfort and givers of God's comfort at the same time. Here we are as God's people in this scripture, our need being named, our frailty acknowledged, God's faithfulness being celebrated, the strength and the grace that are promised. All of this in the same place. The scripture captures the conditions that invite us to prayer. In the scripture, we hear of need. We hear of celebration. We hear of fear. We hear of grace. We hear of hope. These are all things that bring us to prayer. Not only does this scripture capture conditions that invite us into prayer, it also shows us that prayer is both internal and external. Those opening words, "Comfort, O comfort my people," are both an affirmation and an instruction. Here God is saying, "My people, take comfort." At the same time, God is saying, "My people, offer comfort to a world that needs it." And this is why I find no better metaphor than a blanket, quilted with love, for us to think about prayer this day. And I don't mean to brag, but I am a blanket expert. Not because of my quilting skills. Oh, no. No, I'm not a blanket creation expert. I'm a blanket use expert. Upon my arrival into this world, a blanket was made for me by my grandma Lorvik. Thanks for coming this morning. That blanket was made for me, and I have had one ever since. My first one was patched so many times there was nothing left to patch the patches onto. And so around the time I was 11, I got a replacement. Around age 22, that replacement had worn out. So while in college, I called my grandma and asked for a third one. The lifespan of these blankets being rather consistent, I got my fourth one at age 33. The stole I'm wearing is actually made from the fabric of blanket number two. It used to be blue on one side and red on the other. They change a little bit each and every time. Throughout my lifetime of very extensive blanket use, I have found that blankets are a lot like prayer and a lot like the invitation of our scripture today. You see, blankets, they balance the internal and the external. They offer comfort, but also prepare us to offer comfort as well. Now, this is a line of reasoning that I've been working on for a long time, this idea of blankets being a metaphor for life. It's something I actually wrote my college entrance essay about. Here's what I sent the admissions board up in Boulder. Creativity, objective and lateral thinking, love and inner peace, qualities of utmost importance to a person, all of which were instilled in me through the gentle, love-worn fabric of my blanket. A blanket so well loved that it makes the velveteen rabbit look like an abandoned beanie baby. Sorry, this was the 90s. You'll see a few references there. A unique memory through every patch is shown. Every sewn-up rip, a nostalgic reminiscence. And each threadbare corner, the remnants of a stressful, if not traumatic, moment of a child. Before computers were a part of every home, and long before 54% of all children under 15 spent every free moment in organized childcare, the art of make-believe thrived. An art form all but forgotten, in which the participants threw out all instructions included and made up rules as time progressed. During flashes of creative childhood genius, rivaled only by the brilliance of Calvin and Hobbes, my blanket served its finest hours as the flowing robe of the king of the galaxy, the royal blue side showing the great refinement of a dignitary. Yet meanwhile, the opposite side waited in hiding, ready to boldly display a vengeful red the moment a superhero received a call for action. Now much older, and fully knowing I am not yet the king of the galaxy, my blanket still finds itself hanging from my shoulders from time to time. 17 years of practice awaiting the moment when it someday may be called upon to serve with me in the office of the High King. Practically, a practicality is another defining feature of the perfect blanket. Without solid, durable, structural integrity provided by my grandmother's careful design, my blanket would not also have served as a mobile fortress, a portable structure quickly and easily set up with the aid of two chairs or even a couch and a table. Forts that were defendable against the vast armies of G.I. Joes or even the dreaded attack of a younger sister's Barbie. Such improvised yet sturdy structures were the start down a long road of creative thinking. Thinking patterns that allow me to function as a well-prepared babysitter. For when the age-old I'm not going to bed discussion starts, a prepared babysitter can set up camp for a long, drawn-out hallway blockade. In an age of overcrowded juvenile detention facilities, high school massacres, children and teenagers need a source from which they can find love and peace of mind no matter what. Although my mom and dad have always loved me, after tense discussions, which take place more now than when I was a child, the understanding patches of my good blanket friend await me, standing by to absorb a loud primal scream or the saline tears of my anger. My blanket is a source of unconditional love. Some people would describe my blanket attachment as juvenile or Linus-esque. I know they're wrong. This collection of fabric and thread served, serve, and will continue to serve as a defining force in my never-ending development to become the person I will be when I die. So as I go to college, I will also take with me not just the concrete object known as my blanket, but all of the abstract, intangible characteristics it has instilled in me. I've got a thing for blankets. Prayer. Prayer is like a blanket. When our souls are tired, when our hopes are dashed, when our sense of self has been attacked, prayer not only wraps and surrounds us in love, but will trustingly absorb the screams, the tears, the honest emotion that we need to be able to express without judgment. Prayer can wrap us that way. Or when the world is a frightening place, when illnesses just don't have a cause, when violence interrupts our daily lives, when fear and anger permeate our society to frightening results, prayer extends itself to create a safe space to regroup, a place that can shelter us long enough for the hope to return. When the world feels cold, when the days have been long and the hours are trying, when we aren't sure how we're going to get up and do it again tomorrow, prayer can envelop us and bring us comfortable rest. And much like a handmade blanket, prayer has been given to us by a nurturing and loving God that we might think of the giver every time we cling to it. Prayer is like a blanket comforting us. Yet all the while, prayer invites us to comfort others. There was a night when I was a church camp counselor. Darcy, I don't think it was your week. Sorry, it's fun to tell a church camp story and have one of your former campers here. There was a night when I was a church camp counselor that I sat with my co-counselor at a picnic table outside our little green wooden cabins in the woods. There was the two of us, and there were two girls from our family group that week. One of these young women was crying. I don't remember exactly why. But there was something in her life at home that couldn't go unspoken anymore. What I do remember clearly is that during the course of this conversation in the tears, one of her new friends, who'd met her, 2 days ago, who was sitting at the table with us, went to the cabin and returned holding her blanket. She handed it to her friend, this brand new best friend of 2 days, without speaking a word. But plenty was said. Seeing her new friend's pain and not knowing what else to do, she went to something she knew brought her comfort, and she shared it. This is something I've seen happen actually many times over. When I do pastoral care visits to a home, it tends to be a toddler who sees someone in the house crying and brings a blanket or a stuffed animal and hands it to someone, extending that tiny little hand, holding one of their most precious objects in the world, trusting it'll make things better. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says the Lord. We take comfort. We offer comfort through prayer. In our prayers, spoken or silent, in our presence, in our assistance to others, in our prayerful giving, in all of the countless ways that we pray, when we see need in the world, we are invited to offer the same comfort we rely on ourselves. To offer a listening ear, to create a safe space, to wipe away a tear, to protect, encourage, to foster creativity, or simply to just be there. A week and a half ago, I handed out prayer quilts to two families in our congregation within 24 hours. One of them wrapped a day-old baby named Hudson, the newest arrival to our church family. We'll baptize him in a few months. The other one wrapped a dying woman named Lee, the newest arrival to the great cloud of witnesses from our church family. We'll celebrate her life in a few weeks. And while these quilts were deeply appreciated, to the point of tears, it wasn't the fabric that made these moments sacred. Your prayers were present in those moments. This congregation and the people who call it home were present in prayer, wrapping people in need of comfort. And as we seek to build a home where all belong, we continue to discover a breadth of people and moments and needs, things that can't be fixed by beautifully quilted soft fabric alone, but require the relationship, support, and embodied action of a prayerful community expressed in so many ways. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says the Lord. Amen.